Gang, what is happening? It's Super Bowl week, or the week before the Super Bowl, penultimate Super Bowl week, and we're breaking up our normal Tuesday show into two 30-minute blocks, breaking down the ultimate matchup from a betting perspective. I'm Dieter Kurtenbach, joined, as always, by Matt LaMarca and Joe Holka. Guys, first and foremost, just how excited are we to have one final game that we can really sink our teeth into? Maddie, this is heaven on earth, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have been happier if it was Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. I'm a little tired of Tom Brady.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this
at least
is
we know what we're betting against here.
This is his, what, 10th trip to the Super Bowl?
10th, yep.
10th. 10th. My goodness. He's pretty good. Joe, I imagine that you can at least agree with me that this is heaven on earth. You're not going to be totally contrarian like LaMarca. I thought that was my job, and then I met Matt LaMarca.
No way, man. We needed one more Bills showdown slate, man. They didn't have it, and my bank account took a beating last week. So I guess I'm very happy that we're moving on to the Super Bowl because last week's over. Not as happy because we don't get one more Bills showdown slate. So it is what it is. Tom Brady just going to continue to make us all look dumb in a lot of ways in the postseason. But man, that Bucs defense looks pretty good. I'm sure we'll get into it, but pretty crazy to see 10 appearances out of anyone in any sport, right? So wild.
And by the way, Patrick Mahomes, who is as talented as any quarterback who's ever come across the NFL, now back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. He won it last year. Three straight AFC championships games before that. Gets to take the lead in the all-time series against Brady. And I have a feeling that we are not going to see the last of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl after this game.
Probably not good. Tom Brady either, to be honest.
49-year-old Tom Brady pulling through the Minnesota Vikings or some BS like that. The spread on this game is 3.5 in some places, 3 in other places. I was able to pick it up at 3 because my thought is that this game is going to be a bloodbath in favor of the Chiefs. And in fact, if I'm going to get some alternate lines out there, I'm going to bet the Chiefs all the way up to 9, maybe even 10 points. I am very in on Kansas City. I just don't know if Tampa has enough juice on either side of the ball to make Patrick Mahomes sweat. He's just that good. Maddie, when you first saw the line, 3, 3.5, depending on where you were looking, what were your thoughts?
Well, I won't bury the lead. I am also in already. I actually got Kansas City -2.5.
What?
Or at -120. So I hit that for a few units, and I got Kansas City -3 at +105 for a good hand. I'm in for about 8 units on the Chiefs right
I'm
now.
I'm in for 7 right now. I'm in for 7. I don't do that either. I'm not a high stakes.
I just don't see a scenario where this game is particularly competitive. I have not been impressed with the Bucs offense. And I know that you look in the trenches, right? It's a huge mismatch in favor of Tampa Bay. Their defensive line made life hell for Aaron Rodgers last week. And the Chiefs lost Eric Fisher in that game in the AFC Championship, so they will not have their left tackle. It doesn't sound like Mitchell Schwartz is going to be activated off the IR, so they'll be missing their two starting tackles, and frankly, I just don't care. Maybe that's a very square take.
No.
And maybe the Bucs can win this game with their pass rush, but the Bills got to Josh Allen, got to Mahomes from time to time, and he's just so good at buying an inch of space and then using his insane arm to just make these throws while he's getting hit. I mean, he threw some passes. He really is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen.
Yes,
you've been watching the stuff that was coming out on Twitter, like just different like absurd sidearm and just like quick release throws that he's done just this year. And it's like a completely another level. Like LaMarca, I was going to give the bullish Tampa Bay take. It's actually really hard to do outside of what you just said and the offensive line issues for Kansas City. So Mitchell Schwartz, like you said, Andy Reid has already come out and said he's not optimistic that he's going to be available. Obviously, the Achilles injury for Eric Fisher. So, that is like literally the only path we see, right, to them winning this game, just getting to Mahomes with that D-line for Tampa. I mean,
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. It just might not matter, and I'd feel a little bit better about this. Everyone wants to talk about Tom Brady. Cool, Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl. He did not win that game for them last week, in my opinion. So I think that there's still a chance that they're just not going to be able to put enough up enough points. I don't know how you stop Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce the last time these two teams met. Tyreek Hill just went absolutely bonkers. 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. Is that good? Thanks for coming.
It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. Like, I know that, we have a whole week and a half to fill here. Seems relatively straightforward.
Why? Well, why is this line 3, Matt? Like, what? How can anyone justify this? Because again, I'm willing to bet it up on the alternate line to 9-10 points. Maybe that's a bit aggressive, but 3 points and 9 points, very different.
So I do think that people believe in Tampa Bay. And I also want to throw it out there, just in the full disclosure realm. I have a Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl ticket at 17-1. So
Matt LaMarca's entire betting life is a hedge.
It's not a hedge. I bet them in week 14.
You did.
Right after they lost a couple games in a row. I thought it was good value and it worked out, but I don't think they're winning this game. So that,
you're feeling okay either way is what you're really saying.
I also bet them to win the NFC at 7-1. So we'll take that.
That was a good bet. That was a good bet.
Yeah, I mean, the first two times these teams played, the Chiefs only won by 3, but with the caveat that they were up, by like 3 touchdowns before they took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, they cheated the Jesus out of that one.
I do think they'll have a better game plan against Tyreek Hill. I don't think that he will have 200 receiving yards in the first quarter again. Just going out on a limb there.
Bold.
But you can't stop the Chiefs entirely. Like, if Tampa Bay plays a great defensive game, they're going to hold the Chiefs to about 30 points.
Right.
So even if the Bucs do that, if they play a great defensive game, they get pressure, they, maybe they force a turnover or two, they still have to put up 30 plus points of their own. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. This Chiefs defense, yes, they are vulnerable against the run. And Tampa Bay has some semblance of a running game. I wouldn't say that they're, like a dominant rushing team, but
it feels forced. Yeah, it's all forced, and they get away with it because the NFC sucks. This is about to be a reality dose for them. But I'm
with you,
Matt.
just held the Bills to 24 points, who we were saying might be the second best offensive team in the league. So, by the way, another thing. If the Chiefs at any point fall behind in this game,
doesn't matter.
Immediately live bet them. It is easiest money you'll ever make.
Yeah.
This is now the fourth straight game where they've fallen, or the fourth time in 5 playoff games where they've fallen behind by at least 9 points. You can get them at plus on the money line. You just grab it and just they scored 2 touchdowns in like 3 minutes, and I was like, I'm the smartest man in the world. This is too easy. You just take them anytime they're plus odds on the money line.
There's a level of nihilism to the Chiefs. It just doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I mean, we can get in, and we've mentioned most of it, everything that Tampa Bay does well and that should win a normal football game, but they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So nothing matters because Patrick Mahomes is on the other sideline and he's going to have 2 weeks to get ready. And you say, oh, well, they'll double team Tyreek Hill this time. Great. Travis Kelce is now open on every single play. And by the way, their secondary, as much as I like some of the guys, particularly their safeties, that's not doing anything against these guys. I mean, they're throwing Pringle at you. Oh, great. Nicole Hartman is now one-on-one in the slot. Congratulations to you. You just got burned for 85 yards. And by the way, they can run the ball too. As we saw in their first game against the Bills, if you just want to play too high, go into quarters, take everything away, and make them dink and dunk against a good team, they didn't do this against the Raiders, but against a good team, they'll run for 200 yards on your ass. With CEH coming back, he'll now have 2 weeks. Who knows what that means for Bell? They still have Williams. Like, they have some backs who can do
it. Put Le'Veon Bell on ice, please.
They don't even need to run the ball, though. Like, there's no point. Why would we attack, like, the strongest point of their entire defense on that D-line? Like, it's okay, cool. We don't need to run today? Perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, the worst possible scenario matchup-wise for Tampa Bay in that way. Like, even the last time these two teams fought or, like, faced each other, Brady threw 2 picks. also threw three touchdowns, but then we got Mahomes on the other side throwing for almost 500 yards and three TDs, like 9.4 yards per attempt. So like, I just don't know. Like, you look at this team and like the things they're able to do even before the play starts. Like, what do you do when Tyreek Hill is running around waiting for that jet sweep? He's either going to get it, he's not going to get it, but you have to be there in case he does, or else he's going to take it 70 right. yards. So they just get these like free plays to guys like Pringle, like for like 7-9 yards at a time on third down. And it's just like, there's no one around him, because you have to sit there and actually like be ready for Tyreek Hill to get the ball. It's like they're playing against themselves, right? Like, you watch that one totally. Play with Tyreek Hill where he does go out of bounds, but he almost saves it. He's like literally laughing because he realizes if he would have stayed in bounds there, that he juked that guy out so hard that he was in the third row. He had probably 50 yards of grass in front of him. He probably would have taken that to the house. And it was an inch away from him keeping that in. Like, it's absolutely wild watching him and Travis Kelce just compliment each other like this. It's like almost like something we've never really seen before, because there's no real way to stop it. Maybe if you didn't have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, but you do. So I don't know, man. Pressure.
Joe, we've never seen it before.
This three man combo is absolutely absurd.
This is basketball. I've never used flip the switch, which is a phrase I use all the time when covering basketball. I covered the Warriors when they were so much more talented than everybody else. They dicked around for 100 games a season. No exaggeration. 100 games. They would wait until the conference finals, probably game 3 or 4, to start playing basketball hard. And this is it. This is the exact same thing. They're that much better than everybody else. By the way, their defense
looked great,
turning it up a little bit
yeah.
against Buffalo. I mean, it's a little bit easier to go full Belichickian and just say take away Diggs. I don't think you can do that with Tampa. But like, Brady hasn't been, I don't know, Tom Brady, like 31-year-old.
Adjusted completion percentage of playoff quarterbacks. Quarterback he was better than was Russell Wilson so far.
Oh boy. You think about all the just errant throws that he's made. I'm not saying those are picked off, but those have to be capitalized upon. You think about all the field goals that Tampa Bay has kicked, and Tom Brady, old school, right? Like, just driving down the field to set up the field goal. Oh, we'll just take the points. Congratulations. You just lost. Ask Buffalo how that went for him. They have the weapons. Tampa has the weapons. But if Kansas City can get any pass rush whatsoever, I mean, it's ball game. I would be stunned if this game is interesting in the second half. Legitimately stunned if this game is interesting in the second half. How do we feel about the total, though? I mean, we mentioned the kind of two paths to victory is Tampa Bay either doing what no one's done in 3 years, which is slow down Patrick Mahomes with a four-man pass rush and dropping back into zone. By the way, he's just the best quarterback against zone and the best quarterback against man-to-man. Has a 96 QBR against the blitz this year. So good luck to you, Todd Bowles, man who loves to blitz. It's either that, which isn't going to happen, or it's a complete shootout, which I guess is feasible, but unlikely, in which both teams are putting up mad points. Total on this one, 56.5 is what I'm looking at here. How do we feel about that total, Joe?
Yeah, it's basically like a carbon copy of what we saw earlier this season when these two teams played, right? So I think it's basically going to come down to if you think that Tampa Bay is going to be able to do their part on the other side. I understand like the other side of everything we've just been saying. Like, there's still a scenario here where the Tampa Bay defense like at least keeps this thing close and stalls out some drives. But I think that one thing that I've been thinking about here is I would hope that Tampa Bay would have learned their lesson a little bit from what just happened to the Bills. Like, you have to go for the win from the very start. If you're just going to start kicking field goals in the first quarter, I get it. You don't want to leave drives on the field without getting any points, but that like literally doesn't matter. You have to score touchdowns or you don't even have a chance. So I think that that's something they have to think about. I think that this is, I guess I have a question for LaMarco. We have the Brady effect, obviously, for this line a little bit. People want to bet Brady in the Super Bowl, but the total, do we ever see that type of thing? Like, do Super Bowl totals ever end up being inflated just because people want to see points? These two, I guess, high-flying offenses in theory. Like, I don't actually know. I kind of want to wait and see what happens with the line movement, what happens with some of the action on the total. My instinct is it seems high, but that might be kind of just kind of off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't thought to check, but I can look that up very quickly.
Cool.
So Dieter, if you want to vamp.
Yeah, my thought is that what is the more, I mean, this is the basic premise of sports betting. What is the more likely scenario? And, you know, you just break this down, let's say basically with the line, we're talking more or less 30 to 27. It just doesn't sound right to me. It just doesn't sound like a reasonable option. Now, Kansas City going out and putting another touchdown, you know, Tampa Bay not, I mean, what, 37-17? That's a bit more in range. But it, ultimately, what it comes down, I think this is a garbage time line. I think that that's where it gets really murky in how many points can Tampa put up, same way that they did, as you mentioned, in their first matchup. Like, Kansas City was absolutely rolling, and then they decided, you know what we shouldn't do? Try very hard from here on out, because it's a regular season game, and Tampa Bay made it interesting, sort of, kind of. And then, you know, Mahomes had to actually take knees at the end. So
I do think you might be selling Tampa's offense short a little bit here,
Dieter. I don't know. I didn't see Brady make the throws against Green Bay, and Green Bay's defense sucks too.
Brady's looked brutal, man. Like, if you just look even at, like, the data behind, like, just since the postseason started, right? His adjusted completion rate, which is one of those things we're looking at a lot for efficiency, is 68.6%. Yeah. That is horrendous. That is, like, a full 7-8 point percentage drop from the regular season. So I don't know what has been going on with him. Obviously, pressure can really affect that sort of thing on a weekly basis. But I don't know. Like, everyone wants to talk about Tom Brady. It's great. I get it. But, like, he hasn't gotten this team there. There's been some things that have broken really well for Tampa that I just don't think that they're going to get those type of breaks against Kansas City.
Let's though go along those lines for a second. Let's say that Kansas City's defense is getting too much credit, which is something I can absolutely believe right now. Buffalo looked absolutely rattled in the moment. They didn't seem ready for it at all. There's a lot of little things that showed up early in the game where you go, oh, these boys aren't ready to play. They were kicking field goals. They had a defeatist attitude early on, conscious or not. So maybe Kansas City's defense is getting a little bit too much love right now. And maybe Tampa hasn't played their best offensive game yet. That's an easy enough thing to say. Even if both of those two things are true, what is the offensive ceiling for Tampa Bay? If they're running the ball, which they have to do, right? They have to do it so that Brady can get into more play action stuff and be able to, you know, sort of attack. I think that Kansas City, at the very least, even if they don't get pressure on them, they can scheme it. Steve Spagnuolo is a good enough defensive coordinator. Scheme it to where Brady has to make throws to the boundary, has to make throws to the sidelines. Those aren't just throws that he makes anymore. Everything has to be over the middle for Brady these days. And that's my concern. I mean, this is how you game plan against a remedial quarterback. Tom Brady's done it 10 times. This isn't to take anything away from him or his career. But if it's not over the middle, it just isn't getting completed at an excellent rate. And even if it is completed, they're not deep enough to where Kansas City has to change anything out of their shell. They basically know that they get 30 points to play with. You can play really loose defense if you get 30 points to play with. What are you seeing, though, that gives you confidence that, let's say, Tampa Bay can put up 30 points in this game?
How about the fact that they did it last week?
Yeah, well, again, I you know my stance on Green Bay.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with Tom Brady not throwing it deep really either. He just threw it over the top at the end of the half last week, but also, like, he was in the top 10 in yards per attempt this year.
Maybe not completion percentage
on those deeper ones, but he's been chucking it deep. If anything, I'd say that's been more their game plan with Arians anyway, and what they should do is go to the interior against Kansas City, guys like Gronk, Brate, Godwin. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be the strategy.
I'm with you, but it's switched. I mean, I don't know if we can pull up those stats since their bye week, which I think was week 13. Mm-hmm. They've turned into an old school New England offense, which isn't to say that they don't have those over the top shots, but it's a lot easier to do that against Kevin King. I mean, just full stop. They still do push it down the sidelines. If Antonio Brown is back, that helps. I think the running game is passable, but it almost feels forced. Like, it's only there in the same way that Green Bay has a running game, which is to set up the play action, because the quarterback can't sell the run on his own. And that's a problem in and of itself. It's all very rote, and a lot of things have to go right for Tampa Bay, in my opinion, for them to really click, for them to look like an offense that's capable of being an A-plus unit. Whereas with Kansas City, they can just stick around for like 3.5 quarters and then go bang, 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 and that's 3 touchdowns, and that's pretty much the ball game. Like, nothing matters. It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, nothing matters. I want to be, you know, bearish on the fact that they have 2 missing tackles and that they're going up against, you know, JPP and Barrett. Like, I want to be negative on that. nothing matters because it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, great. Blitzingham, where he was nearly perfect all year against the blitz. I saw this last year in person at the Super Bowl. I mean, the 49ers had a generational defense. Tampa Bay's defense isn't even close to what the 49ers defense was last year. It's good. It's really good. Don't get me wrong, but it's not even close to it. And for three quarters, it looked like the 49ers are going to win that Super Bowl. They were getting pressure with four. They were mixing up man and zone on the back. Mahomes wasn't rattled, but he was having to, you know, work through some stuff there a little bit. And then it ended. It just ended. It just, Mahomes is like, oh, cool. I think I got a read on this. You're dead now. And he killed him. He just killed him. And Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo ain't that different right now. They're just not. That's probably more of a compliment to Garoppolo than it is a knock on Brady.
That is a horrible take, Dieter. Brady's been decent this year, man. Come on.
Garoppolo went 13-3 and was decent last year.
He was not decent. He was the team was that good because of the defense, for everything you just said.
Well, right. And I have this argument every day. I'm not a fan.
Monster of an offensive line.
We just made you back into a pro Garoppolo take. How's that feel?
Wild. Absolutely wild. I literally have the reputation around San Francisco. Guy. So it just shows that we can all change and grow. I don't know. I'm Maddie, what am I missing here? Like, how does Tampa Bay open it up? Can you trust Tom Brady to make the big time throws in, you know, first and second down? We're not just talking about third down. Third down doesn't matter when you're playing the Chiefs. You need to make big plays on first and second down. And they might be there, but where are they?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tom Brady was not good last week, but like Joe said, he really had a good finish to his season. I mean, week 14, over 10 yards per attempt, adjusted yards per attempt, 9.5, 15.8, 10.5, 10.5, and then his last two games haven't been great. But I just don't think the Chiefs are going to get a ton of pressure on him. We know that Brady doesn't like pressure. He tends to wilt when you put guys in his face. I mean, that one pick that the second pick that Alexander came up with was Tom just essentially punting the ball on third down.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to stand here and say that things haven't broken extremely well for Tampa Bay. They have. If Aaron Jones doesn't fumble on that first possession right out of the half, who knows what happens in this game. But that kind of stuff can happen, you know. True. Even if you don't think Mahomes is going to make a mistake, maybe Mecole Hardman makes a mistake again. Maybe one of the running backs fumbles the ball. So I think there are paths for the Bucs to score points here. To get back to Joe's earlier question about the historic totals. So
right.
I've got data here going back to 2004. So the under, that's set the past 17 Super Bowls. The under is only 9-8. So nothing overwhelming there. But one thing that I did think was interesting is that there have now been six totals of at least 50 points. And the under is 5-1 in those contests. So maybe there is an edge in terms of the Super Bowl, you know, where offenses are not playing at peak efficiency. You know, right. Tom Brady always talks about how the extended halftime is weird for teams and, you know, you have to sort of prepare your body differently than you would for a normal game. But that said, these two teams, or at least these two quarterbacks, are fully used to that. You know, this I did see that this is the first time in league history that the two teams that are the two quarterbacks that have won the previous two Super Bowls are meeting in the Super Bowl. So that's kind of cool.
That's a good one. May I just remind us of two things. One, you mentioned, you know, nice to the season. That came against Atlanta, Detroit, and Atlanta. So maybe we should put some caveats on that. And then the second one, we have not brought up Tom Brady's bedtime. And understandably, he will be in his own bed.
I think that narrative's dead, Dieter.
Is it?
We tried.
Is it?
We did our best.
He beat Washington. I mean, I guess they beat New Orleans after his bedtime. Is that it? Secret trash Saints.
I think the hydration narrative is better at this point than the Tom Brady sleepy narrative.
Well, we know. And this is another thing. A lot of people have brought up to me this week. They've done full hydration narrative on your boy. about like, well, Kansas City has to just sit in a hotel all week where Tampa Bay is going to be at home. The Chiefs aren't flying in until 2 days ahead of the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no actual Super Bowl week. It's all digital this year. So while Tampa Bay gets to sleep in their own bed, they were sleeping in their own beds regardless. They just don't have to get on a plane, which is nice. There's no doubt about that. But Kansas City is flying in like it's a regular road game. Tampa Bay gets their own home locker room. Maybe that's worth a point. I don't know. Again, sleeping in their own beds all week, but so is Kansas City. Doesn't have to take a flight. If you were ever going to have a year where you're hosting the Super Bowl, this is far and away the shittiest year to host the Super Bowl.
I guess it's positive from that perspective because, yeah, they're sleeping in their own beds, but also they're at home. They're dealing with more like stuff with family and tickets. I know they try and get that done, obviously, all this week, but they're like, there's going to be more distractions when they're in their normal environment, you would think, right? I guess maybe with all the COVID stuff, it's different. No one's going anywhere anyways, but I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily see that as like a huge, I guess, that, like, it's kind of nice. Like, it's a business trip for Kansas City, right? They're with with the boys. They just go with the, like, they do their normal routine. And I don't know. I think there's value in just getting away from all everything else and just focusing on why you're there.
It's a great point.
And the in-stadium impact for Tampa Bay. Zero. Who knows who these first responders are actually going to be cheering for?
I mean, and beyond
these are not Tampa Bay season ticket holders getting let into the stadium. Yeah. These might be people who don't even watch football. We don't know.
Well, that's the thing. It's first responders, which is awesome and a very good thing that
very
the NFL
good
is
idea
doing.
By
it's
the
a very clever idea. And then the rest of it is schmucks that dress like me right now. And going to the Super Bowl last year.
Had a bubble vest.
Oh yeah, you know it, baby.
With
it's cold
a polo
outside.
Underneath it. It's impressive, man. And a hat. Like that is like one of the more impressive combos I've seen out of you this year.
I cannot express to you how much people like how many Visa executives are dressed exactly like this at the Super Bowl. It's basically Visa executives and vaccinated people. It's the double V situation. And it was interesting last year because I've been to enough Super Bowls to kind of get a vibe on it. Like the one in Houston sucked. That was the Atlanta New England one, and it sucked. There was no real fan presence whatsoever. It was all executives. There were obviously some Atlanta fans, some New England fans, but it was mostly just squares like me. The one in Miami last year was interesting. I'm not sure why the executives decided not to go, but it was a lot of Chiefs fans. I think they bought it off of Visa. It was mostly Chiefs fans in that stadium. That was a thing. This year, I think that we can just
You skipped right over the best Super Bowl of all those in Minneapolis and minus 30 degree temperatures.
Your boy wasn't there.
People were excited to be outside and tailgate for that game. I was here for it. It was the coldest week we had, I think, in like 3 years. I'm not kidding. It was like it was the worst. Like people were very upset that came to the Super Bowl. I still remember being like, I think I was having dinner somewhere, and there was this like row of Patriots fans at the bar, and we went and talked to them for a little bit, and they were like, "Yeah, we have like this group of us. We go to the Super Bowl every time the Patriots make it. One of our guys that normally comes, like, nope, not going to Minneapolis. I'll just go to the Super Bowl next year." That's what he said, and they're Patriots fans. I was like, "Oh, okay." Must be nice. Oh, yeah, but we're just going to take this year off. We'll go to the Super Bowl next year when the Patriots are in it. And they were.
They were. Yeah, that worked out for them. That's the worst part. It's a very bad year to be hosting the Super Bowl. I think, Joe, that your point actually has even more weight, because if you're at home while the Super Bowl's happening and you got some family tickets, guess who's showing up? Your family.
Right.
And that's a big issue as it pertains to COVID. I wouldn't be stunned whatsoever if we had some late COVID issues here, just because you're going to have people coming in, and that, you know, we saw it during
that one, Marcus.
Terrible way to end.
Someone brought that up on my show yesterday, that like, we've never had to deal with this. Like, what if like out of nowhere, there's some sort of positive test that happens? Like, does that, from a betting perspective, LaMarca, does that scare you trying to grab any early value? Because if something drastically changes, you're just completely buried.
Yeah, I mean, I still think if you find a value line, you should grab it while you can. You know, like,
this is a value
I think
line,
if you can get
the
Chiefs minus three, you should get the Chiefs while you can. I think this line is pretty clearly headed to 3.5. I mean, we haven't even talked about the betting numbers yet, but unsurprisingly, 63% of the bets and 83% of the dollars landing on the Chiefs. So this is going to, I think it's going to stay at about 3.5. I don't really see it getting to 4. I think there'd probably be some Tampa buyback at 4, but anytime it dips to 3, the Sharps are just pounding Kansas City. So I think 3.5 is where it'll pretty comfortably sit. So if you want 3, take it now. But yeah, of course you got to consider COVID. I mean, I don't think you can handicap that way. It's hard if you, you know, because you don't want to wait and miss out on the best line. But at the same time, who knows what's going to happen? I would rather have the ticket in my pocket and have to hedge out later than miss what I consider to be the best line.
It's just really difficult to take that into account. I got blasted on college football all year with late COVID stuff. The NFL is at least a bit more transparent when it comes to that. And there's a lot of testing throughout the week. David, to answer your question, yes, there's going to be first responders that are vaccinated there. That's not it, though. They have more capacity than that. I think it's 7,500 first responders who are vaccinated. I'm pretty sure they're going to be putting like 20-25 in there. So I'm fairly certain that at least in the suites, there will be families and things like that at the Super Bowl, because, you know, there's been families at most games. We've had a lot of games with fans in the stands. I don't think that that's necessarily coincidence that the Chiefs and, you know, the Bucks didn't play any damn home games, but, you know, teams with fans in the stands, I don't know, they were able to get some playoff games in. So we've had families out there up until this point. I don't know. Any final thoughts? We'll get into all the deep props and the DFS stuff and all that next week on our second half of this show, because, again, 2 weeks to break this bad boy up. Any final thoughts here?
No, I thought it was a good, kind of initial first look at this. I think that, like, there's always going to be more value in trying to take a little bit of a deeper look next week when hopefully we have a little bit of this fallout. We see where some of the action is going. I still think that it's one of these ones that always scares me when it seems somewhat straightforward. Do you feel that way, LaMarca? Like, these ones never work out, right? So I guess that's my initial first scare is that, like, it's like all the consensus is on the Chiefs, which is never a great place to be.
I hate being on a team that's public, especially in a game where it's going to be, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars that are bet.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But I do think that there are going to be some people that galaxy brain themselves into taking Tampa Bay.
Clearly, there's already some.
Yeah. People love Tom Brady, man. They freaking love him. So between Brady and the defense, I do think that maybe this will end up being, you know, like a 60-40 split, at least in terms of tickets. And we also have to keep in mind that the sports books can lose money on the game and still win money overall, because there are going to be people betting just awful prop bets all week.
Oh, God. Hey, listen, this is the first wide open, if we could say that. I mean, what, we still have 25 states or so that need to legalize, but this is going to be the first big time legalized sports betting Super Bowl. So many states have come across in the last year, and more to come in the years to come. But this is going to be absolutely ape with prop bets. So we'll get into all of that. Plenty of opportunities to make money there, because there's going to be some just downright stupid lines. And that's where the fun comes. Guys, thanks for joining us. We will do this again next Tuesday. Same time, same people. Same places, because we can't leave. That's where our cameras are. But, you know, happy betting, everybody, and we'll talk soon.